How many of you like maps? Ooh, sorry about that. Anybody here like maps? Enjoy looking at maps? I love maps. I like putting a map up on the wall and looking at the, especially the edges. I've always liked the edges. When God called me to the mission field, I went to the uttermost part of the earth. Amen. I found two little islands in the bottom corner of the map, so far down that some maps forget them. And I appreciate people that like going to the edges of the maps. Amen. Brother Kyle Sheridan went to the edge of the map. He went to the southern part of Chile and Argentina, down the very bottom of South America. Went there 6.5 years ago, started a church, and God's blessed him and used him. Now back on deputation, raising some more support so they can go back and do more for God. And I'm so glad that he and his wife have been here this week and their children, and so glad that they can spend a little bit extra time with us and that he can preach for you for chapel today. I'm going to ask you to sit up straight, put your phones away, listen carefully, pay attention. Brother Kyle, would you please come? Let's give him a hand, shall we?
Thanks, Kyle. Appreciate it. Okay, thank you very much. Thank you. I'm afraid to move this. Thank you. Please have a seat. Thank you very much. Thank you. Please have a seat. Thank you. All right, sit down, you lunatics. Preaching the Word of God and hearing the Word of God certainly is a source of joy, and I'm so grateful to be here. It's been a wonderful conference, and it's an honor and a privilege to stand here in the pulpit and be able to share a little bit from my heart and to be able to preach the Word. I was meditating a lot and praying, and I wanted to take all my time, the entire time, and just plead with you as students to consider giving your life to be a missionary. But the Lord's led me another direction, so since I can't do that, I wanted to start off just by sharing a quote from Hudson Taylor, and then we'll leave that at that. He wrote a little booklet just wanting to encourage people to consider China as their mission field, and he said, with these facts before us, and with the command of the Lord Jesus to go and preach the gospel to every creature, each one needs to ascertain whether he has a special call to stay at home. If not, shall we disobey the Savior's plain command to go? Pretty incredible, no? I beg you to consider giving your life to serving the Lord on the foreign mission field. But that's not going to be my subject this morning. What I'm going to be doing is, from my personal studies, I'm going to be teaching 6 principles, something that I've learned and developed personally, out of the book of 1 Timothy. Each principle is taken from the, I'm just joking with you. You're looking at me like, what? Yeah. I had Pastor Wilkerson for 4 semesters in Bible college, all right? So just thought I'd mess with you there. But, all right, okay, let's get to it. We don't have too much time. I'd like to ask you to turn in your Bibles to Numbers chapter 12. Some of you are looking at me. I taught those to Pastor Wilkerson, so he's been one of my greatest students. Numbers chapter 12, all joking aside, Pastor Wilkerson has been a great mentor to us, and we're grateful for him, grateful for his influence in our life, thankful for the invitation to be in the church for the missions conference. This has been one of the greatest weeks of my life, and I'm just thankful to the Lord that I got to live it. And so Numbers chapter 12, what we're going to be looking at is the subject of meekness. And for the title of my sermon, I've put, we need meek servants. We need meek servants. Numbers chapter 12, we're going to read one verse, verse 3. I'd like to invite you to stand again. I know I already had you sit down, but go ahead and stand up, because I'm up here and you have to do what I tell you to do. Numbers chapter 12, verse 3. I'm going to read this out loud. Please follow silently there in your place. It says, now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we need you, and I need you. I'm not capable to be here in this place right now and to accomplish what needs to be done. But Lord, I know that you're great and that you can work through me. And so I ask you that you would do that. And I pray that you would help me to preach and to speak that which becomes sound doctrine. And Lord, that you would help me to teach the students about meekness. I know I'm not the best example, but thank you for continuing to work on me and help me to learn this. We desire that Jesus would be exalted in these moments together, not only from the preaching, but also in the way that we receive your word and mix it with faith and then put it into action in our lives. So we pray that he would receive all the glory. I ask that you would do a work by the power of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Have a seat, please. I've asked them to prepare a video here, and so I'm going to, it's just a couple of minutes, and I'm going to ask them if they'd maybe dim the lights and get that video ready to go. And so watch the video. It's going to help us to understand meekness.
This big fella was the leader of the first mob we brought in. We're calling him Lightning. This is when you really need to read the animal. To avoid a kick in the head, or getting hung up in the ropes. It's easy to forget that these animals are wild.
Hey, whoa there.
So this was the main buck, the stallion, in one of the mobs that we brought in. Definitely is the proud one of all the horses, and the hardest to break in. But he's quiet now, and he's learning to trust us. From here, we want to get a saddle on him and try and ride him. Off him now. You're up, mate.
Clancy will work with him now while I start breaking in the next one.
Because we've got so many horses to get through in a short period of time, we're sort of bringing them through. One person's leading them and just getting a holder on, and once they get into here, we're putting a saddle on them. Come on, saddle down. It's all right, mate.
I've been riding stock horses since I was six and breaking them in since my teens.
At this stage, my job is giving them the first ride. It's not the most comfortable ride to get started.
Yeah, I'd like to give it a go, but you can see it'll be pretty dangerous pretty quickly.
Okay, now what you just watched was just an unsaved man in working his secular job, and what he's doing is they're capturing wild horses and they're taming them. And if you notice the word he said multiple times, they're breaking them. I understood meekness for the first time when I began studying the scriptures in Spanish. One of the reasons why is I was in Patagonia out by a river one day, and there was a man who was breaking a horse, or taming a horse, domesticating a horse that had been wild, and he told me the word to break a horse, to tame a horse. Now, those in here who know Spanish know that the word meek in Spanish is the word manso. Well, the word to tame a horse is amansar, or to meekify the horse. And so when we think about meekness, we can really understand that meekness, and this is something that I learned from Pastor Wilkerson, meekness is a willingness to be governed by another's will. It's a willingness to be governed by the will of another. So when the horse is being amansado, or it's being tamed or broken, its will is being broken and then submitted to the will of the rider, right? And we can already understand how God begins to form our understanding of what meekness is, what it has to do with our will, what it has to do with his will. There was a moment in the video where he says, this is the most proud horse and of the whole crew that they had just captured, and he's got it down. He says, but he's quiet now, and he's learning to trust me. I just think of that meek and quiet spirit, and how the more that we get to know God, who he is and how he is, the easier it is for us to trust him. When we understand who God is and how God is, then we understand that his will is always good and that he always does what's right. And then we can have our will broken and submitted to his will. Would you look in Matthew chapter 10 with me? We need meek servants. Matthew chapter 10. As I began to study meekness, and I came across the scripture in Numbers, and I thought of Moses, potentially the greatest leader in the scriptures, men like Moses, Elijah, David, but Moses, what a great leader that was used in a mighty way by God. Can I move this, or is it going to go crazy? Okay. I didn't want to wake you guys up there. A couple of you look kind of jumpy. So I thought, Lord, how is he supposed to be a leader and meek at the same time? If he's supposed to be exercising leadership over people and guiding a people, I don't really understand how that meshes with him submitting his will to the will of another. And of course, it has to do with us submitting our will to God, but also in leadership, our will needs to sometimes be submitted to the will of the people that we lead as individuals. Just a simple example. I mean, I remember when we built our building, God's people in Chile, over 5 years, they saved money. They bought their own building, and with Chilean pesos. And I remember when we were going to put this, we'd set up the chairs and everything, and somebody wanted to put a carpet down the center aisle. And I'm telling you, this carpet was the ugliest carpet I think I've ever seen. And I was, you know, I kind of oversaw every last little detail in that auditorium. It was the colors my wife wanted, and everything was just kind of laid out the way I wanted. And they wanted to put this carpet. It was hideous. I mean, if I walked into that church building, I would throw up when I saw that carpet. It was so ugly. And but you know what? It was just a simple way that God said, hey, if you're going to be meek, it's okay. Let them put the carpet. And so I did. We put the carpet there. And it was a huge lesson for me as a leader, as a servant of the Lord, learning what meekness is. Let's look at Matthew chapter 10 here, verse 24. The word disciple is the most common word used to refer to a follower of Christ, a Christian, a believer, in the New Testament. It's used 273 times. Matthew chapter 10, verse 24 says, the disciple is not above his master, amen, nor the servant above his Lord. It is enough for the disciple that he be as his master, and the servant as his Lord. That phrase is amazing. It is enough for the disciple. It's sufficient. He doesn't need more than this, but to simply be as his master. To be like his master, the servant, to be like his Lord. The word Christian is in Spanish, when we want to make something small, we just add ito to the end, right? So you've got poco or you've got poquito, right? You've got pequeño, you've got pequeñito. So in Chile especially, it's not a café, it's a cafecito. You know, it's everything is ito in Chile, okay? And so, similar in the Greek language, something was done to the word Christian, okay? And so you've got Christ, Christos, or the mini version of that would be like saying Cristito in Spanish, right? Cristito, people. In the Greek, it's the word Christianos, and it's like saying a mini Christ or a small Christ. And so when we consider that they were called the disciples, right? The word disciple, they were called Christians first in Antioch. What did that mean? It meant that they were so similar, so like Jesus, that they said, those are little Christs. What an amazing accusation. I would love for them to say that about me. But normally I've got to go around, well, I'm a Christian. But I'd love for him to call me a Christian. I'd love for other people to say, that guy's a Christian. He's just like Jesus. It's enough for the disciple to be like his master. Look in Matthew chapter 11, please. Matthew 11. These are some of my favorite verses, and I come to them often as somebody who serves in full-time ministry. So I recommend you memorize them and meditate on them. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30 say, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I wish we could dwell on that for an hour. Verse 29, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Do you know what a disciple is? A disciple is a learner. That's what the word means. It's a learner. It's somebody who learns from, follows, and imitates a master. And so here, the master with capital N, he says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. This is the call of discipleship. He says, learn from me and follow me and imitate me. And listen to what Jesus says. He says, I am meek. There's a greater leader than Moses. Yeah. Jesus said, I am meek and lowly in heart and humble. And ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I'm not doing as well as I want to, but I just want to be like Jesus. Jesus is meek. I am meek and lowly of heart, he told us. Matthew, you don't have to look at it, but it says in Matthew 21:5, tell ye the daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh unto thee meek. Jesus is meek. He told us, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10 with me, please. 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 1. 2 Corinthians 10, 1 says, now I, Paul, myself beseech you, listen to this, by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence and base among you, but being absent and am bold towards you. So in other places we hear him speaking of the mercies of God and beseeching with these, but he says here, I beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ. What does Paul know about meekness? You know, in Acts chapter 16, when the church of Philippi was founded, those mission students in here, I encourage you to read over and over again Acts 16 and look at a model that God gives us for planting a church. Acts 16, read it in accordance with the book of Philippians. But when God founded that church in Philippi, the apostle Paul, he had a desire to go to another region. He didn't want to go to Macedonia. He wanted to go to Asia or Asia Minor, Turkey. And we read twice in two verses in Acts 16:6 and Acts 16:7 that the Holy Ghost wouldn't let him. And so you see the will of the apostle, his desire. He wants to go into a region, right? But God had another plan, another will. And in verse 6, he tries to go, but it says that the Holy Spirit in Acts 16:6 forbid them to preach the word in Asia. But then in Acts 16:7, the following verse, they tried to go into Mysia, which was also in Asia, but the Holy Spirit suffered them not. And that's when they had that vision in the night, and the Macedonian man said, come over into Macedonia and help us. God's plan is better. Philippi and Macedonia are the door to Europe. Extremely important city, the city of Philippi. It's a city where a battle was won that marked the end of the Roman Republic and the birth of the Roman Empire. It was strategic, economic reasons, and military reasons, but we see spiritually that the church of Philippi became possibly the greatest missions church in history. When Paul left Macedonia, the entire region where Philippi was, no church was giving to missions except them. In fact, when he had just left Philippi and he steps into the next city, which is Thessalonica, he says, you sent once and again into my necessity. So this infant church in Acts 16 is born. In Acts 17, 1, it tells us that he moves into Thessalonica and he's just planted that church and they're already supporting missions. And then this church eventually, their generosity infected an entire region, so much so that every missions conference you're ever in, you will most likely hear a message from 2 Corinthians chapter 8, and you will be encouraged by the generosity, the extravagant giving of all of the churches of Macedonia, not just Philippi. No, Philippi was a leading church that their generosity then infected the entire region of Macedonia. And you think, well, hey, I want to go to Asia. Well, no, God wants you to go to Philippi. And so what did Paul do when he had that vision? He said, he flexed his will and said, I'm going to go where I want to go. No, he didn't. It says that after he had seen the vision, immediately they endeavored to go into Macedonia. Immediately they endeavored to go into Macedonia. Delayed obedience is immediate disobedience. Partial obedience is complete disobedience. We need leaders who will ascertain the will of God and do it immediately, wholly, and with their whole heart. I can't stress enough how important it is for servants of the Lord to be meek. I see so many times when I look into my dark heart, a man that just wants to be headstrong as a pastor and as a missionary and just wants to impose his will on others as if it was the will of God for their lives. And I just want to surrender my will to him. And it's hard, but I'm working on it every day. The servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient in, what does it say? Meekness. In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil who are taken captive by him at his will. And those young ladies here, would you look in 1 Peter chapter 3, please? 1 Peter chapter 3. You know, meekness is greater than makeup. And young men, I would encourage you, as you are sensitive to how God is ordering your steps in regards to who, with whom you're going to marry one day, see how she interacts with authorities. Watch how she interacts with the men in her life that are authorities, her father, even here in the seminary, the Bible college in Spanish, we say seminario in Chile at least. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 and 4, it says, whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold or of putting on of apparel. You know, we live in a day and age where if a woman wants to be beautiful, she does it by beautifying the outside of her. But look at what verse 4 says. It says, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, and that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of what? It says, of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God, great price. I've never suffered a house fire, but I thank the Lord that I haven't. But sometimes I've talked about with my wife, you know, what if there was a fire in the house? What would be the first thing you would grab? Well, obviously, we'd grab our children, right? And we'd get them out of the house, and then our Bibles and different things. But what if you just had to pick kind of one thing, one item? I guess some people would maybe pick their wedding albums, you know, in days past. Now everything's digital, right? We've got it in the cloud or whatever. So let the wedding album burn. I'll get those back, you know. Just go print them off at Walmart again. But, you know, what would you? Well, you know, my grandfather used to tie flies. He was a fly fisherman, and he gave me a fly, and I'd go and I'd get that, you know, and I'd take that because it means a lot to me. You know, I think about what is of great price in your eyes, and which possession do you value so much? And if there was a house fire and the Lord was to go in and grab something and take it out, it would be a meek and quiet spirit. He says that a meek and a quiet spirit is of great price in the sight of God. Young lady, make yourself beautiful that way. A meek and a quiet spirit, that inner man, How can we be meek? Well, we need to walk in the Spirit. Meekness is his fruit in us. You can see that in Galatians. How can we be meek? We need to read the scriptures daily, and listen to this, receive them with meekness. Meditate on that. Because as you read the Word of God, it clashes sometimes with our will. We find God's will, but we need to receive the Word of God with meekness. Lean not unto our own understanding. We need to be renewed in our understanding, and we need to allow our will to bend to the scriptures. And those preachers in here, don't be cautious not to start with a thought and then try to bend the scriptures to your thought as you're preparing a message, but pray, Lord, bend my thought to the text. We need to pray, and as we pray, have Christ and others be the center of your prayers. You need to die to self. Self is the enemy of meekness. Honestly seek and ask for God's will and repeat the words of our Master. Not my will, but thine be done. We desperately need meek servants. And even more so, meek Christians. Thank you.